Let's play a game. Guess what song I'm tapping on my desk. Research shows that out of the 20,000 of you that are listening to this right now, less than 500 of you were able to guess the song correctly. This is a famous experiment done by Elizabeth Newton in the 90s called Tappers and Listeners. So she set it up where the tappers are told a famous song, and then they tap it on their desk, just like I did. And the listeners, their job is simple. It's to guess what the song is. But there's a twist. Before they start, Elizabeth asked the tappers to guess, like, what are the odds that your listener is going to guess this song correctly? They guess about 50%. But when they run the experiment, only about 2% of the listeners guess it correctly. Now, the reason I'm bringing up this experiment is not about, like, our ability to guess the song being tapped on the desk. No. It's about that gap. The difference between the 50% prediction made by the tappers and the 2% of the actual results. It's about the tappers wildly underestimating the difficulty of this task for the listeners. This small experiment illustrates sort of a symptom of a bigger problem that we need to dig into today, called the curse of expertise. Welcome to the Learner Lab podcast. I'm Trevor Reagan, and each episode we dig into research that can help you and your team get better at getting better. To help us out today, we track down kind of the dream guest, Ting Zhang, who's an expert on the curse of expertise.
Hi, my name is Ting Zhang, and I'm an assistant professor at the Harvard Business School. So the curse of expertise happens when the very knowledge and skills that make someone an expert actually become a liability.
The expert's curse is sort of a bias that we all deal with. And it shows that as we develop more skills and acquire more knowledge, yeah, those things are really great for us as an individual, but it can create some problems when we're working with others who aren't at that same level of knowledge, skills, and expertise.
A lot of the work that I've been doing looks at how the curse of expertise impacts the ways in which experts actually can coach or advise or teach novices. And one of the main barriers to this process is experts' ability to retrieve their understanding of how novices are thinking and feeling as they're engaging in this learning process.
Once we acquire the knowledge and experience and expertise, it's really, really hard to put ourselves into the shoes of a novice. Let's go back to the song that I tapped at the beginning of the episode. It was the national anthem. Listen to it now. So obvious. Once we know, it seems so simple. I did this experiment with my sister, and as I was tapping, I felt myself getting so frustrated. I couldn't believe that she couldn't figure it out. If you zoom out, it's clear that the tappers and listeners experiment is running all day, every day, everywhere. Sometimes we're the tapper, we're the expert, the one with the knowledge, the experience, the expertise. Other times, we're the listener, the novice. Now, because this is playing out all around us, we need to be aware of what the expert's curse is, why it matters, and most importantly, how to avoid it. Research shows that as we become an expert, as we build new skills and acquire more knowledge and experience, we really have a hard time remembering what it was like to be a novice. We have a hard time predicting how difficult a situation would be for a novice. That's exactly what the tappers and listeners experiment showed. We have a hard time estimating how long something will take for a novice. Sometimes we become more rigid and less likely to change our perspective. And this can create what some people call an empathy gap, where experts have a really hard time relating to a novice. All these issues really compound, and they can cause a lot of problems anytime that an expert, someone with more knowledge and expertise, is working with a novice, someone who's not at that level. And with that framework, you see, wow, this is something that's happening in every classroom, every locker room, every meeting. Once we understand what the curse of expertise is and how it creates this dynamic between experts and novices, you see the problems that it causes all around us in the real world. This is why most of the time, really, really great athletes are not the best coaches.
Just watch me. It's so simple.
This is why when I take my car to the shop, the mechanic sounds something like this.
The main winding was of the normal Lotus O deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator.
This can cause leaders in the workplace to set kind of unrealistic deadlines.
I want that report on my desk in 1 hour.
This is why when we ask locals for directions, we hear something like this.
Get back on San Vicente, take it to the 10, then switch over to the 405 north and let it dump you out into Mulholland.
And one of the most obvious kind of outputs of the curse of expertise, acronym overload.
We got to get QA on this OES because the ISP has said this UX isn't up to scratch. We won't be able to perform B2B OPS if the CMS isn't ready.
Now, we're not saying that every expert is terrible at interacting with a novice. No, we're saying that if there are some issues, if we're having trouble connecting with a novice, more times than not, it's the curse of expertise at play. So now we have a solid understanding of what the curse of expertise is and all of the problems that it can cause. Where I want to spend the rest of our time together is, okay, how do we avoid the curse of expertise? Well, the solution is simple. Don't become an expert. Don't acquire knowledge. Don't get better at stuff and we'll be fine. Okay, obviously that's not the solution. We're going to get into some concrete strategies, but first, a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by you. Every time that you like or comment or rate or share this podcast, it helps it grow. And when it grows, we all win. I'm able to book more guests and make better episodes for you. You are really the fuel that helps this thing grow, and it would make my day if you shared this with a friend. Back to the episode. All right, so as far as avoiding the expert's curse, there's some simple fixes. Obviously, we can just stop overusing acronyms. We can communicate using a universal language and not big words and jargon that kind of confuse the people we work with. But there's some bigger fixes as well. I want to bring back our friend Ting Zheng, because not only does she research what the expert's curse is, she's done some fascinating experiments that show concrete strategies that you and I can implement that can help us sidestep the curse of expertise.
What I've been doing is looking at, well, how can we help experts rediscover this beginner's mind? This beginner's mind that's so critical for being able to explain things to novices in a way that a novice would understand.
The first experiment I want to talk about is sort of a recreation of the original Tappers and Listeners study. But check out what she did. She has a group of people participate in the experiment as listeners. And right afterwards, they're told to journal about their experience as a listener. 7 months later, they sort of run the original experiment. So she takes the group of journalers and listeners, and now they become the Tappers. And she brings in a control group that didn't participate 7 months ago, and they also participate as Tappers. The journalers, listeners, they're told to revisit what they wrote 7 months ago about what it was like to be a listener. And then they ask that question that Elizabeth asked in the 90s. What percent chance do you think your listener is going to guess this song right? The control group, the group that didn't participate 7 months ago, they guess about 46%. Pretty much the same results that Elizabeth got in the 90s. But the intervention group, the former listeners, the ones that journaled and revisited their journal, they guess about 30%, which is a far more accurate sort of prediction of how difficult this task actually is. By experiencing what it's like to be a listener and by writing it down and revisiting it, those people in a way sort of sidestep the expert's curse, or I guess they diminish the effects of the expert's curse. They have a better understanding of how difficult this challenge actually is. So what does this mean for you and I? Well, we can steal directly from the experiment. Anytime we're experiencing a change, learning something new, it's a good idea to journal and write it down. Talk about what it feels like, the frustrations, the bumps, the plateaus. And before we give advice to a novice, before we coach someone, teach someone, it might be a good idea to revisit that journal. And it's a reminder that, look, change, challenges, building new skills, those things are difficult. And when we understand that and remember that, we're on a more even playing field. We're in a better position to connect with, communicate, and advise someone who's maybe not at our level of expertise. There's one more thing we can do that's explained in, I think, one of the coolest experiments ever.
We conducted a study where we had expert guitarists do one of two things. In one condition, it was business as usual. Experts were asked to just play as they would on their guitar normally. In another condition, we asked them to flip the guitar around and play with their non-dominant hand. And the idea here was to get them to understand how awkward it is to hold the guitar for the first time and understand how it feels to start playing music and realize that the sounds that are coming out of the guitar are not aligned with one's intentions.
And then all the experts watch videos of novices playing the guitar, and they're told to coach and advise them. Ting and her team analyze the quality of the advice, and they survey a group of novices about how they felt about the coaching and advice they received from the expert.
Experts who engaged in this rediscovery process were much more concrete in the advice that they gave. That is, they told novices, instead of things like, make sure to play more clearly, they would explain how to play more clearly. They would say things like, make sure to rotate your arm more so that you clear the strings and can produce a clearer sound. Additionally, experts who engaged in this process of rediscovery were also more supportive. They would say things that were more positive, like, keep going. It's really hard to learn for the first time, but continue practicing and you'll eventually get better over time. So this combination of more useful content and greater support actually made the advice more helpful from the novice's perspective, and novices were actually more open and receptive to taking these experts' advice. What we argue is that actually engaging in this process of rediscovering a beginner's mind is really helpful for experts, not only in terms of overcoming the curse of expertise for themselves, but it has consequences for how the novices around them who are learning from them can actually absorb the content that they're sharing.
By flipping their guitar and being reminded what it's like to be a novice, these experts give more helpful advice, more encouraging advice, more detailed feedback, and they actually see more potential in the novices compared to the control group. And that experiment is how this topic connects to the bigger picture of learning. As we become more effective leaders, if we're aware of the expert's curse and we can communicate and connect with and advise the people we work with, obviously that's going to help them learn, grow, and get better. But the other side of the equation is when we put ourselves into more learning situations, when we take our learning and development seriously and we spend more time in learner mode, not only are we going to get better at stuff, but by going through that experience, we're reminded of what it feels like to be a novice. That's our version of flipping the guitar. So in a way, when we focus on becoming better learners and spending more time doing it, a fantastic byproduct is we're going to diminish the power of the expert's curse, and we're going to be in a better position to lead and advise and teach and coach the people that we work with. I'd like to give a huge thank you to Ting Jung for her fantastic work and being willing to share it with us. I think this is one of our best episodes, and for me personally, it's been one of the most useful. I've been thinking about the expert's curse and how it plays out in our workshops, podcasts, articles, and videos, and I think it's going to improve the quality of all of those things. I'm sure that this is a topic that can help you as well. If you're interested in more of Ting's work, we're going to put some links below. Please visit thelearnerlab.com for more podcasts and videos and articles that can help you and your team become better learners. We'll be back next week with a brand new topic. I'll see you then.